This episode of Legends of the Dark Knight features Steve, Mike, and Tara.
Listening to Legends of the Dark Knight, only on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hi, this is composer Christopher Carter from Dynamic Music Partners, and you're listening to Geekcast Radio.
Hello and welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight. I'm your host, Steve Joker Phillips. Joining me in this adventure into Gotham City are the dynamic duo,
TFG and Mike.
And Tara, the rising star, is back, aka Batgirl.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yes, we figured we might as well get the original trio back for the finale of the series of Legends of the Dark Knight to sit down and discuss the pretty much their, you know, favorite moments and favorite parts of the films, or just kind of reminiscing over the decade-long run of Batman.
Yes. You know, honestly, I think he's... As he went along in the DC Animated Universe, his lines got better and better and better, because he has some great lines in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. I mean, like, that very first episode of Justice League, Secret Origins Part 1, where Superman, you know, he and Superman have to team up to fight these alien things, and Superman, all of a sudden, without warning, flies off, Batman's head whips around, where is he going? You know, Batman the Animated Series and Batman Beyond, two of the best cartoons Batman-wise out there. I still say, though, there are at least 10 to 15 episodes out of the BTAS run that I can count that are just god-awful episodes. Stuff like Moon of the Wolf, Tiger Tiger, The Terrible Trio. I mean, it's got terrible in the name. How good of an episode can it be? And Batman Beyond, that has its share of bad episodes. Do not watch Rats to save your life. Just don't watch that episode. Knock it off.
Oh man, I remember when we had to watch those episodes and talk about it back in the beginning of this podcast. Oh my gosh. I literally had to be like, why am I watching these horrible episodes?
Yeah.
They were horrible back then, too. But I was too young to kind of, you know any better.
Yeah,
I was during the original run of Batman the Animated Series that they only reran the good episodes.
You mean you only were able to see the good episodes? Well, you didn't catch it when the bad... No, because they've rerun all of them over the years.
Yeah, I mean, I happen to get lucky and see only the good ones, but I occasionally catch one that would make me want to gag myself, but...
Like Olympus, Fire on Olympus, oh my god.
I didn't like any of the splicing episodes. That one I was kind of, eh.
Oh, well, yeah. Fire on Olympus is from BTIS, but Batman Beyond, the splicing stuff. I didn't like the stuff with Stalker, even though I love that it's Carl Lumley as the voice of the Stalker, which he would eventually go on to do the voice of Martian Manhunter in Justice League. But yeah, and some of the high school stuff kind of got old after a while. In Batman Beyond. But for BTAS, I mean, it all comes down to stuff like Heart of Ice, The Heart of Steel two-parter, obviously Christmas with the Joker. I have to say, my favorite overall Joker episode where he is the main focus, even though it focuses more on Harley than it does him, but, Old Wounds, he's just... I don't want to say he's been relegated to Villain of the Week, but he kind of was for that episode, but the one that really focused on him was Mad Love, and I would have to say that is my overall fully focused Joker episode favorite, is Mad Love, because... It's just so hilarious.
That was a fantastic episode. I have to agree with that. That was one of my favorites. And it really showed. I mean, I loved seeing how they met and how their relationship developed. Mm-hmm. And you can just see, I mean, like, yeah, he's sick and he's twisted, but he does care for her in his own, you know, his own way.
Sick, twisted way.
But it was a really great episode. Another Joker episode, since we're on the topic of Joker, I really loved Christmas with the Joker. I know it's a really early episode, and I know it's not even really in sequence when they aired it, mm-hmm. but it was just one of my favorites, and I really enjoyed it, even though it had like three different little mini kind of episodes. It was enjoyable to watch. It was funny. It had a great plot with every little mini episode, and it had an ending, which I really enjoyed. Another Joker episode that I think was pretty good was also Joker's Millions.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic. how he hired the most expensive lawyers to get his name cleared, and he was a free man and all that, and erased from all, like, the books. That was pretty funny. And then when he finds out all the rest of the money is fake. Oh, man. Oh, man. He goes on, like, a rampage. And I think there's also another one, Joker's... Is it called Joker's Wild?
Yep.
Okay, that was the casino one, right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, that one was another one of my favorite ones when he gets back at the casino. But, I mean, come on. You should not make a casino mocking the Joker if you don't want the Joker to go and, you know, blow it up. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it was just the guy. Remember, like, the guy was using him just to get money from the Joker destroying his casino. Yeah. And the Joker found out. The Joker's like, nobody outdoes me. So those were some pretty good moments. When they focus on him or anything involving the Joker, you know it's going to be a good episode.
I definitely can relate to that. Anytime I see the Joker show up, I'm ecstatic.
I mean, compared to some of the other kind of one-off villains, I mean, I did not enjoy really any of the Mr. Freeze ones at all. I don't know. Well, I just didn't.
Heart of Ice is his premiere one. That one was pretty good.
And the one with the Heart of Steel that you guys were just talking about, those were not that interesting.
I don't know. I mean, you know, Hardak, you know, the whole computer thing, taking on, you know, replacing people, that's kind of interesting.
I didn't mind the Invasions of the Body Snatchers part, but I liked the one where the robot was actually Batman, and he had to come to grips with fighting himself. So it was like an inner struggle to the point that the robot almost had its own sentience, because it had copied the one flaw of I mean, some would call it a flaw and some wouldn't, but the one flaw of Bruce Wayne is he doesn't kill and doesn't use guns. And the robot thought he killed Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So he in turn did the right thing before he blew himself up.
Yep.
I guess with the invasion of the body snatchers kind of thing, I guess that was a pretty cool thing, but there were just some episodes that just didn't stick with me, just maybe because they didn't have my favorite characters. They didn't have, you know, because I'm a huge fan of, like, Poison Ivy. I'm a huge fan of Catwoman. I'm a huge fan of Joker. I'm a huge fan of Harley Quinn. I'm a huge fan of, Riddler. So I guess when they had, all, like, you know, kind of not the main villains, they were just, like, villains that were really only, specific to the Batman the Animated Series, that kind of, you know, didn't really flow with me that well.
Now, on all your favorite characters, and this goes for both of you, did you like the New Adventures style to the animation and to the characters themselves, or did you like the original incarnation?
You're talking about when we got, like, the redesigns?
Yes.
You know what? I'm kind of a mixed. I mean, Poison Ivy looked way... I guess she looked, you know, she didn't really look like Poison Ivy because she was, you know, she had, like, the white skin and then she was wearing, like, a black outfit. That didn't really flow with me that well. That was not really Poison Ivy to me. I liked her better when she had the auburn hair and the green outfit. Catwoman? It's hard to say. Riddler definitely didn't like his redesign. Didn't like the Mad Hatter's redesign at all. Joker, I was actually okay with his redesign. Harley Quinn wasn't really that noticeable for her redesign. But yeah, I think really it was Poison Ivy I had a big issue with her redesign. That was my thing, because it looked like kind of like a way different version of her that I don't remember seeing, except for the animated series.
I think for me, I like the Batman redesign, just because I prefer the black and gray over the blue, yellow, and black, or the blue, yellow, and gray. So there is that. With Robin didn't really change other than the fact they put Tim Drake in the suit. I mean, it's the same Robin suit, pretty much. You know, obviously Nightwing is great. I prefer the New Adventures style for Batgirl. It just looks better than the blue and gray one from the original series. Joker was fine. The rest of the redesigns, I didn't pay that much attention to, honestly.
Well, for myself, I disliked pretty much everybody's redesign, except for, like, the Bat family. Joker, I didn't actually... I liked him, but I disliked the fact that his face looks so plain compared to what it used to look like. So when they got to, like, the Batman Beyond flashback or the, you know, like, the Justice League years, I liked that rendition of the Joker better.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I liked Freeze. I think it made him look more menacing. I liked Batman. I liked Scarecrow looked freaky. Kind of like some kind of undead monster.
Mm-hmm.
That is very true. Now that I'm looking back at it, I mean, Scarecrow got a really good redesign. I have to admit that. It fit his character really well. But with some of the other ones, yeah.
Like, Mr. Freeze, I think that they made him look cooler. The turning into a spider head thing kind of freaked me out originally.
Yeah, that was just so completely wrong.
And then they kind of got to fix that in Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
Because they grew him a new body.
I mean, they made Clayface look better.
Well, with ink, yeah.
Considering what he used to look like.
Yeah.
So what are you guys, some of your, like, if you had to pick a film, obviously Batman Beyond, there's only one, but if you had to pick one film overall, what would be your favorite out of the animated ones?
Return of the Joker.
Hands down, Return of the Joker.
It was just so well done. It was just so well done.
I mean, if I was going to put them in order, and I don't count Mystery of the Batwoman at all, it would go Return of the Joker, Mask of the Phantasm, and then Sub-Zero for me. I mean, if I'm going to throw World's Finest in there, it would be Return of the Joker, Mask of the Phantasm, World's Finest, and Sub-Zero. I mean, I like all those. I like all four of those films. Mask of the Phantasm, I find, is the one that I rewatched the most. The one I do not rewatch the most. And honestly, I haven't rewatched a lot of the films recently. Obviously, I've watched them from when we did the commentaries and stuff here in the podcast, but like before that, I think the one I probably most watched at the time was probably World's Finest. Because it's just such a fun movie. It really is. Seeing the four characters, I mean, Batman, Superman, Lex, and Joker, just interact. And the whole thing with Harley and Mercy was just great. I'd love to have a whole show with just them fighting each other every week. What about you, Steve?
Well, for me, I think I have to agree. I think that, hands down, Return to the Joker was the best that they ever did.
Yeah.
But Mask of the Phantasm, only because that was the first movie I ever saw in theater, plus that was my continued love of the animated series. That one still ranks, it's just a hair below. I it's so close to being my number one that it's tough, but I love Return of the Joker more. I think Mask of the Phantasm is like the best telling of Bruce Wayne becoming Batman.
Right.
That we've ever gotten.
Oh, absolutely.
And then World's Finest, yeah, I have to agree. That's really cool. How that all played out. And then you know, Sub-Zero after that and Mystery. But yeah, that's definitely my favorite.
I mean, people don't give Sub-Zero enough credit, honestly. They really, really don't.
No, it's that really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good Dick Grayson Robin story and Batgirl story is really what it is. I mean, Bruce is there, but it's more focusing on Dick during his college years and Barbara as well, and obviously Mr. Freeze. Mystery of the Batwoman, it's not even the fact that I don't see it as being in continuity. It's the fact that there are just so many damn problems with that movie for me. Like, the constant misdirection amongst the three Batwomen, and a bunch of other stuff. Just alluding to the fact that Bruce and Barbara even had a relationship at some point is just... And then Kyle Higgins had to go ahead and expand on that. What did you guys think of Tara? Have you ever seen Epilogue from JLU?
No, I haven't. I'm pretty much only a Batman.
You can watch Epilogue without having to watch the rest of Justice League because it is essentially a series finale for Batman Beyond.
Okay.
It's actually almost a finale for the entire DCAU.
It's
closest. I mean, it's the last. It's the farthest out timeline wise.
Yes, that's right. The way I view it is that Alive and Destroyer, which are the final two episodes of Justice League Unlimited Season 5, Alive and Destroyer are essentially a two-parter to each other. Destroyer is the one where it ends, Batman says, okay, 5-minute head start, and then they all go chasing after the criminals and Wonder Woman says, well, the adventure continues, and we all see the heroes running down the steps and flying off and everything else. The way I look at the DC Animated Universe is, once Destroyer ends, we then have X number of years of adventures to go that were never made until we get to Epilogue. So yes, Epilogue is the real end, and I mean, you can still watch it without it. Even though it has the Justice League opener on it, it really is a Batman Beyond episode.
I'll have to check it out then.
Yep.
And it covers, you know, all the way through Cadmus and Amanda Waller and, you know, Terry in his 30s and Bruce in his 90s. Still a stubborn old dude.
Of course.
Of course.
Not surprised.
Yeah, what I find absolutely funny is Kyle Higgins, who is currently writing the series that will end soon, Batman Beyond. He, in the latest issue, he says, there's a line here where he said, where Terry as Batman says, the Joker's dead, the original Batman is a lonely old man, so you tell me, Ghoul, where's the fun in that? So, but yeah. And, you know, as far as the podcast itself goes, we've had a fairly good run, even though there was a bit of a hiatus in the middle of it. But, I mean, you know, doing the commentaries, getting through over 152 is probably something like 170 something cartoons. We interviewed Lauren Lester twice. We interviewed Kevin Conroy once. You know, we've had a good run.
It's been a fun ride. Even though I wasn't here for the last half of your run,
yeah,
it was still really great to be a part of the beginning of it.
Yeah.
And obviously the reason why I wasn't here for the last half was due to school and life issues, but it's great to be back for the final episode just to kind of wrap things up and you know, share my thoughts on the whole Batman animated series cartoons.
And I'm sure if we get, you know, another interview, obviously we get another interview with Kevin Conroy, it'll go on here. I'm sure if we get any other, I do plan on interviewing a couple of the directors, people like Kurt Gaeta, who directed Return of the Joker, and people like Dan Reba, who, what?
I said woot!
You know, people like Dan Reba, who did a number of episodes of Batman Beyond. We did have that interview with Christopher Carter, Lolita Romanus, and Michael McQuestion, who did the composing on some of the series along with Shirley Walker. You know, so there will still be interviews and stuff coming for Legends of the Dark Knight, but as far as the overall run of the podcast, this is, we're pretty much done, folks. We got to move on to other stuff now.
Yeah, it was such an honor to speak with Lauren Lester. That was such a treat. He's such a nice man, and to hear everything from his perspective about, you know, what it was like to voice the characters he voiced, it was fantastic. And as you said, hopefully in the future there'll be some more Batman voice actors and directors we'll be able to speak to.
Yeah.
And add them to our repertoire.
Yes. And, you know, eventually if the attention so garners it, we may eventually return to the podcast.
Eventually, somewhere around 2017, 2018.
Oh, wow, that's a long way off.
I know, right?
Who knows? It might be sooner than that. You never know. We don't even know what we're doing a year from now or 6 months from now, so.
I don't even know what I'm doing a week from now, so. You know, except for Halloween. Yes, we are recording this a week before Halloween.
Actually, this will air Halloween night.
And what's the anniversary date for that, Mike?
I'll have to look it up here. I believe it is Halloween night.
3 years ago.
Well, happy Halloween to all our fans and listeners and fellow geeks.
Yes.
You know, when I type Legends into iTunes, it should immediately come up with the Geekcast Radio Network, Legends of the Dark Knight. But it doesn't, sadly. My iTunes is not that smart, apparently.
Well, it is iTunes.
Joker must be behind it.
Yeah, it's all the Joker's fault. That's right.
Or the Riddler.
All right. Meh. Well, actually, I'm going to have to go back and change the date here to reflect what we actually intended to be the anniversary. But according to iTunes, it was October 27th, but we meant it to be October 31st, 2011. So, it's, holy crap.
It's not too far off. It's been 3 years.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
We actually started it in 2012, but...
Wow.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't start in 2012.
We didn't? We actually recorded some in 2011?
Yeah, episode 0 was September 20th. Episode 1 through... Episode 1 through 4 was October, November, and December of 2011. And then we came back and... Yeah, see, I'm looking right at it. You'd think I would know.
I don't.
And it is so awesome. Well, I'm looking right at it on iTunes, you idiot. It is so awesome that at the bottom of our iTunes listing here, it says, listeners also subscribe to The Arkham Sessions by Dr. Andrea Letamendi and Brian Ward. So it's nice that we've been sending those people over there. Again, thank you to everybody on iTunes who gave us reviews. Very awesome of you.
Yep.
So,
and thank you all again for all of the comments and all of the iTunes reviews and following along with us all this way.
Yes, three years. Oh my god,
that hasn't really been that long.
Yes.
Wow.
there was a couple of like 3 to 4 month hiatuses in there.
Mm-hmm.
Been a long process, but it's been a fun process.
Oh, absolutely.
It's been fun. I mean, I get to talk about Batman.
And little side teaser, not really Batman related, but there are other animated series review podcasts in the works.
Mm-hmm. So make sure you stay tuned for that.
Yes. So they won't be on this feed, so just have to tune into thegeekcastradio.com. So.
And our Facebook page.
Yes, yes. So any other comments before we close it out?
I think that's it.
Alrighty. Thank you for joining us for the final time of Legends of the Dark Knight. If you'd like to leave feedback on the show, you can do so on the website, geekcastradio.com. You can become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can follow myself on Twitter at SCP21, and you can follow you guys at...
TFT and Mike.
At Tara Blair.
So for now, we have been
DFU and Mike.
And Tara, the Rising Star, a.k.a. Batgirl.
And Steve Megatron Phillips saying in the immortal words of Batman, I am vengeance, I am the night, I am Batman.
There I was, holed up in this quarry. When Batman came nosing around, he was getting closer, closer.
And?
I threw a rock at him.
So, Harvey, what became of the giant penny?
It was a big rock.
They actually let him keep it.
It's true, Batsy. I know everything. And kind of like the kid who peeks at his Christmas presents, I must admit, it's sadly anticlimactic.